This is Simon Smedley here from the Oldham Chronicle with the latest of my my music features, and I'm absolutely delighted, overjoyed, proud to be been invited up to Upper Mill today to the Java Bar. It's a bit noisy in the background, but I've got the one and only Mike Sweeney with me. Hiya, Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning to you as well, mate. I just thought it'd be fantastic to come up and see you up at Upper Mill and just ask you one or two things about how things are going. And my first question is that you kind of career, if you like, has turned full circle recently, because you've not long since been back at Radio Manchester. So it's
I started off at Piccadilly in 1980, so it's 35 years in October that I've been on the radio. And and at that time I was in the Salford Jets, then I was on the radio, and nearly 35 years later and with Piccadilly Radio. Obviously at that time commercial radio was a different animal. It was very much the local radio station. We were Greater Manchester's radio station, and we cared about the area, and we were all there in Manchester broadcasting. Commercial radio is not like that now. I think anybody in commercial radio has met, there's no such thing anymore as a local radio station. In terms of big local radio stations, there's things like the Rev and Tameside and Salford. We're talking about the big radio stations now in Greater Manchester. You couldn't describe them as local. They're not. One or two of the programmes might be, but generally they're not. And the news is. I've come the full circle, and I'm on BBC Radio Manchester, and it's like, virtually like being on Piccadilly Radio.
Really?
30 odd years. Honestly. Slight differences, but when I first started on commercial radio, you did interviews, features, sport. I did Sweeney's 60s Classics all those years ago when nobody was doing retro programmes, and I'm doing exactly the same now, and it's wonderful.
How does it feel to sort of be back home, if you like, then, Mike? Because you had your stint away in London.
London was.
You're back on the doorstep again, and you look as happy as ever, mate, to be honest.
Professionally, London was a great thing to do. And I remember.
How long was you down at Capital Gold for, mate?
Crikey, nearly 10 years.
Right.
And they used to commute, go down on Monday, come back on Friday. And I remember asking friends of mine in the industry when they asked me to go there, should I go? And even people who cared about me said, no, it won't work. Your accent's too strong. And I was okay in London from day one. So I had a great time there, and professionally it was very exciting, very lonely. I found out that I was best when I was literally either working, preparing for work, or about to do work, and running. I used to run.
Yeah.
And that's more or less all I did. And every night, maybe once a week or once a fortnight, I'd go out with somebody because I had friends in London. So every now and then I would go out and have a drink, but mostly that's all I did, was work and go running. So to come back, I mean, I came back first of all to work for Real XS, the rock station.
Yes.
That was incredible.
So when was that then?
That'd be 6 years ago, seven years ago, maybe. The great thing about that was it opened me out to a younger audience. So people now, what, from the 5-6 years I was on rock radio, then Real XS, I still get like 18, 19, 20 year olds coming up saying, oh, I miss you, and which is brilliant. And we had an amazing team there, a unique moment in commercial radio. Once that team had dispersed, as it did eventually, by the time I came to leave, we'd probably done what I wanted to do there. But to get the opportunity to come and work at Media City at the BBC.
Did that come out of the blue, the chance to come?
Completely out of the blue.
Yeah.
And I mean, the phone call that you always hope you're going to get, but you assume you're not. Not quite as much money involved as winning the lottery, but just as pleasantly surprising.
Well, a little bit like when I got the chance to go to the Chronicle, but anyway, that's another story. Let's talk about your music. Obviously, you've been playing your music for many, many years with the Salford Jets, and I think one or two bands before that, was it?
Here's the interesting thing, and we can go on to this in this interview. Last week I did a gig with a local band around here called the Valisettas.
We'll talk about,
Valisetta is a motorbike from the 60s, funnily enough. I thought it was a great name, and I got up with them and did some songs, but the first song we did was Louis Louis by the Kingsmen. The first song I ever sang on with my first band was 50 years ago, almost to the day, in the summer of 1965, in a youth club, right. In a similar sort of room to the room right. that we were in, at Greenfield Conservative Club,
yeah.
last week, and I did Louis Louis,
wow.
and
wow.
played mouth wow. organ on it, and it was like genuinely stepping back in time, and for those quarter of an hour, 20 minutes with those lads on stage, yeah. and they're all 16, 17 yeah. years of age,
yeah.
it was like being 18, 19 years of age. Not a bit like, just like being 18, yeah, 19 yeah. years of age.
So, I mean, we might have seen as we're on the subject of the Vela Setters, and obviously I do a lot on the local Oldham music scene. There's, I mean, those guys, they're so talented, aren't they? But there's a lot more kids like that out there in Oldham.
What surprises me pleasantly about rock and roll music now, and I know, and I do understand people saying, you know, that the talent... TV talent programs have got a lot to answer for because they produce this homogenous conveyor belt of supposed talent. Don't get me wrong, every now and then you do get a talent out of it, but mostly they're just decent singers, decent performers who would never normally do anything more than earn a living, and they become catapulted to stardom. To an extent, it gives an unreasonable destination for most musicians, because if you start off thinking I'm gonna be famous, that's okay. But to think all I want is to be famous, yeah. I can understand any musician. I want to be in the Beatles. Yeah. I understand yeah. that, but I never thought I'm gonna be famous. It's all I want to be. I want to be a great singer in a rock and roll band. But in a completely parallel universe, that you still got great young rock and roll yeah. bands. The other thing that surprises me about them is A, how talented they are at quite a young age now, which is brilliant, and how influenced they are in the nicest way by the music of not just the 60s, the 50s, the 70s, Britpop, 80s indie, mod, all those yeah. different genres, right up to and including yeah. Oasis and Blur. I find that incredible.
Do you find it? Do you have any kind of sympathy for the young bands these days in terms of trying to get on and trying to make a real success or a living out of it?
I do and I don't, business. Because when I started in bands, the situation wasn't much different. In as much as you could play quite a lot, you didn't often get. You either didn't get paid for it, or you got the equivalent today of 50 or 60 quid between you. So there was no money in it. I remember doing pubs for £1 a piece,
yeah.
which now is probably equivalent to 20 quid each, maybe. Yeah. So, but you did it for the love of it.
Yeah.
You built your own fan base. If you go down that road, there's as much chance of you being successful today as there was then. Mm-hmm. It depends what you define success. The media's different, it's multimedia.
Yes.
The different genres of music now, I mean, when I was a kid, it was just pop music. Then it became pop and rock music. Then it became pop, rock, soul music. Then it was only in maybe the 70s that things we started getting to, and then you get country coming in and then the blues. But now there's probably an infinite number of musical genres. Even in heavy metal, there's probably about 50 different types of heavy metal.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're a rock and roller, you can still ply your trade, learn what you're doing, write your songs slowly, doing cover versions and something like that. I'll write a song, build a fan base up, and you can still be successful. What defines success is interesting. Even with the Jets, we were very successful, did a lot of national television. We still had only one record that just got in the top 75.
The Cartina.
And, no, it wasn't. It was Who You Looking At.
Oh, was it?
Gina Have Got a Cartina, yeah. and She's Gonna Break Your Heart. Both right. got in the top 100.
Right.
But there was no top 100 in those days. So you can still do it. And a great example of a band that did it, and you might say, well, where are they now? Well, they had the moment with a band called Twisted Wheel. And they were a local band,
yeah, they were,
indigenous yeah. to sort of Oldham, yes. the Oldham area.
Yes.
They got their first album went in the album charts. At their peak, they were supporting Oasis. They were selling out places like they could do the Ritz in Manchester and sell it out. That's success.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, you remember in the 60s, there were thousands of bands. But out of Liverpool, say you had Jerry and the Pacemakers, the Searchers, the Beatles, Cilla. You had Billy J. Kramer and the Dakotas. You had Swinging Blue Jeans. There were probably then another 2,000, 3,000 bands who never made it.